I've been given the mic, so I'm at liberty. And because it's the Magnificent Seven, we did a studious vote of who would present, since I wasn't available on the day of making the vote. I was elected. So, therefore, they've given me liberty. And so I begin this way. Be conscientious that the world loves money. And so these are my thoughts. This is kind of my twist on it. And so I say that as I was thinking, kind of preparing for this. Be conscientious that the world loves money. You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, as a surgeon general, a pack of cigarettes just makes you forgive if there's any smokers or gamblers or anybody else that I might offend.
I was just thinking, it's just kind of funny. Sometimes we'll put the truth in a humor pill, right? So we might as well make this funny thing. So, you know, the Surgeon General, he puts,
this may kill you, unpack a cigarette, and we do it anyway, you know. And then, of course, we have legalized substance now, and it just says, you know, drink responsibly. So, it's funny. And then the third one I think is funny and amusing, you know, it's like, I'm not supposed to hold my cell phone while I'm driving and everything like that. So it's funny, some of the things that are kind of legal may hurt us, you know. So I think it's kind of funny in that regard, you know. So we have to be aware that there are some things that are legal. They may hurt us in the long run. So that leads to food, and all things are permissible, but all things are not good for me, good for us.
I said meat, but I was thinking about my one weakness is ice cream. Love ice cream. So thus, I'll tell you about vitamins later. But anyway, it's time to do that.
But I'll lead into the conversation. Everything that's permissible may not be good for us. And so, therefore, we may do some things unaware, because we don't know what processed foods might do to our body, or fast foods. And so, also, since we don't aware, I think God gives us a lot of grace. But then, just to make sure, I want to pray over everything that goes in my body, because I don't know how the food handlers handle our food. And I think I'm a truth and a humor pill. I think it's really funny. I don't know how many Uber and Lyft drivers and delivery of meats and stuff like that. Do they go through food handlers permit before they can deliver food? So I think it's just kind of funny. You know, we have a lot of things that are done by permission, and we just have faith. So let's have more faith in God and just pray over everything that goes in our body. And this is the intro to processed foods. And so as I was looking at processed foods, what is considered a processed food? And the definition is food that's gone through a series of mechanical or chemical operations to change it or preserve it, okay? And it may come in different forms, or it may just be simply because it was bagged or boxed. It may be canned, frozen, packaged, but the nutritional composition has been changed. That's the real key there. So there are some that are minimally processed or affected only because it's been bagged. Then there are some that have been packed in order to preserve them. And they're trying to do some things in order to preserve the freshness. So there may be things that have been added, like sweeteners or spices or oils or preservatives, or things that have been maybe made ready to eat. And so they've been heavily processed. So we just have to be really conscious about it. And I wanted to give some practical things. You mentioned the most heavily processed foods. I could give you the cliff notes for all these things were cited, were pizza and microwavable dinners. But why not keep this balanced? So we talked about the positives of processed. And so, as I read this here, they can help us eat more nutrient-dense foods. You know, they may be fortified with calcium or vitamin D, you know, such as milk and juices. However, a lot of time they may have other things in it. But one of the biggest takeaways, and I'm trying to wind this up a little bit so that I don't take too much time from the other groups, is that one of the biggest things to help with what we probably are already aware about processed, you know, what that means, is that
what we can do to minimize how much processed things go into our bodies by doing meal prep. Probably one of my greatest challenges too is making the variations of meal prep. But if we've done meal prep and we've already got stuff to take to work, then we've already eliminated having to go to wherever, Starbucks or Dairy Queen or someplace else to get whatever they have, and they've got to have it already prepared by way of processing. So as we move into, that was more the positive, they prepared for it lasting. We want to look at some of the challenges are the hidden sugars and sodium in it. I've oftentimes simply a replacement of one to give it more taste. You know, they'll reduce the sugar, but they'll give you more sodium, or vice versa. Or they'll add one. So those are the biggest things that I found pretty consistently, is that sodium and sugar were in there. And I'll just give a quick hit list, because people might want to know something practical, and I mentioned pizzas, where fruit juices, white bread, industrial vegetable oil, margarine, coarse pastries, cookies, cakes, french fries, potato chips, and everything. And agave nectar was the one that kind of surprised me, that I think we have to be just really conscious of sugar and its various forms, glucose, you know, and every other type of glucose. And of course, candy bars, and those type of things. Fast foods are pretty much obvious, but the thing that was the component within fast foods is just to be conscientious of the trans fats. And the trans fats, which I don't have a good definition of, but the bottom line is that they lead to insulin resistance. So that was kind of the key thing around that, the key takeaway. And the insulin resistance basically impairs the body to use glucose properly. So I'll conclude here. And any other things just to be conscientious of is in processed meats, extra sodium and things that go in there to preserve it, they're just loaded with sodium and chemicals. And the connection is between processed meats is chronic disease that leads to obesity and other things. So the results, the informational studies just show that when we reduce processed foods and fried foods, it lowers the body's inflammation. So the last part is simply looking at, it may cost us to change our lifestyle. It may cost us to change our lifestyle, but the cost may be worth it. And we always have to be conscientious of, I don't say us versus them, but you know, they're trying to make a profit every single day. And we have to be conscientious in our efforts to push back, if you will. Remember, if it's good for you, it's cheap and it's plentiful, you know. Candy's like $2-$4, sometimes $3-$4. If you want vegetables or fruit, it may be $2.99 a pound or $3.99 a pound. So that's my big takeaway. And on the fruit, or rather on the sugar thing, a conscious thing to keep in mind is if we look at the 28 grams, anytime we read something, it says how many grams of sugar, we could divide that by 4, and that would say 4 to 28 is 7. That's like putting 7 teaspoons of sugar in your mouth. So hopefully that was the most practical thing we can take away. Whatever it is, just look at the number of grams divided by 4. That says how many teaspoons you're putting of sugar you're putting into your mouth. That was it. And I'll conclude right there.
And soft drinks. So as we know, when we put any unhealthy snacks in our bodies, whether it's chips or candies or anything like that, everyone knows, like, it's oh yum and great and quick, but you feel bogged down. Your energy is gone. Sometimes you get headaches. all these snacks honestly cause anything from obviously obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer, which is huge because we've had cancer hit pretty heavy in our family. So at the end of the day, it's important that as cheap and as quick as these things are, to know how dangerous they are. Like sodas, for example, we can clean rust with soda. We can clean the nastiness in our toilets with soda. If you keep your tooth in a cup of soda overnight, it dissolves it, the enamel off of it, and this is the kind of stuff that we're putting in our bodies. I know it's convenient, but the inconvenience is causing your health to deteriorate, and it's not worth it.
That's right.
So it's better to take the time, and like if you want chips, cut up potatoes. You can help you make them for yourselves at home. There's fruits and vegetables. There's so many other options. You can get a dehydrator. You can make your own granola bars at home, and replace the ingredients with like healthier things instead of sugar. Like, there's so many options and you don't necessarily have to feel like you're missing out on certain things. It's just changing it up and making it at yourself, basically. And water, I know, like, you love all the sugars and the fruit juice and the sodas and stuff, but water is meant to help cleanse all those toxins. Like, we can hold up to 16 pounds of toxic sludge in our body. And so we want to help keep our bodies healthy by just letting all of that just flow out of us. So at the end of the day, it comes down to this. As convenient as it is, invest in your body because those snacks aren't worth the price of your life.
That's good.
Our topic was inflammation, and basically there's just a lot of information on that, and I just enjoyed kind of what part of the reason why I was a little bit late today. I was kind of going over some final notes and so forth per se, but I just kind of cut it short so that there's a lot of information on the subject of inflammation.
This recording.
We are talking about food and mental health and so forth, and different things that we can just put into practice for a better life. And on that same note, I just have to really kind of give credit and just thanks to God for just making our bodies this perfect machine that it is. It knows how it replenishes itself in different ways when we are alone in one area, and how he's made life in general for us so simple. I think we sometimes complicate that in different ways that we live, our thought process, and just sometimes just ignorance, really. Resist things that are good for us unbeknownst to them. But if we do the proper research and just dig into the Word of God, we begin to see what He has in store for us is always a good thing. So, moving right along, inflammation. What is inflammation? First of all, it is a noun. A localized physical condition in which part of the body becomes reddened, swollen, hot, or often painful, especially as a reaction to injury or infection. It can occur both external or internal. And I've pretty much focused more on the internal side of it because there is, seems like a lot there as far as information that deals with how we are finding ourselves challenged by various internal elements. Also, just to kind of keep in mind that stress is a major cause of inflammation. The other thing is that there are some things that we talked about as a group, and I kind of like to just go into that as far as our prayer group and our roundtable discussion. This is just some random things, but we did talk about various anti-inflammatories that you can use to remedy, and some of those things were quite spot on when I did a little more research, which is just, you know, tomatoes, berries, omega-3, olive oil, avocados, nuts are good for us, green teas. Those are just some of the more systemics, more of the foods that we can use to help offset inflammation. Also, there are some topical treatments, that ointments and things of that sort that are available at your local drug stores, grocery stores, which is triamimel, which is a topical one you can put on to reduce various pain and hurt and inflammation. Zostrix, as well as capsaicin, which are kind of two of the same. Zostrix is a little higher in its milligram for potency. But capsaicin basically is an extract of peppers that was sort of discovered in the South, where they would put cayenne pepper as a rub on the bellies of pregnant women to reduce various types of labor pains. And so it also works on, of course, joints and things of that sort. And there also, again, is cold packs and ice are very good. So the other things that we were just talking about, just again, just random things that we talked in our group, we were talking about overindulgence, which we all know what that is, just overdoing any one particular thing. Eating, exercise, just things that we find ourselves being impacted upon, our dietary aspects of things, and just the use of improper exercise. Sometimes we do things that not correctly, and so these are just some things that came out in random. But getting back to more of the scientific approach, going into what some things that were talked about from the various Harvard scientists. They were talking about the five cardinal signs of inflammation. And these are just some phrase, terms, medical terms, and with the definition, which is $1, D-O-L-L-R, which means pain. Number two is calor, which is heat. Three, which is rhubarb, which is redness. Four is tumor, which is a swelling. And five is functional leasa, which is the loss of function. Cause of inflammation, overindulgence versus digestive troubles. Excess alcohol consumption, use of certain medications, and even vomiting can cause gastritis or inflammation of the stomach. It shifts the digestive tract into chaos or erosion of stomach lining, results in inflammation. It results in inflammation. Anti-inflammatory diet that is high in essential fatty acids can work wonders for the intestinal tract. Several food sources, we already mentioned berries and tomatoes, omega-3s are all good. One of the things that they also mentioned is broccoli and emphasize blueberries. Fish, nuts, tar cherry, the cherry juice is very good. Kelp is good, which is a sea vegetable, but you want to make sure it was grown and harvested, that was not in polluted waters. Also, yogurt, papaya, and green teas are good. Now, there are five foods that are not good, that are that cause inflammation. And those five foods, I'm going to go from the fifth into the fourth, kind of in reverse order, is bagels, which is white breads, which is basically full of lots of sugar. So that is one that they say that really blocks the fibrin, which on the body produces, and there are various things we could eat that are that help produce that that. But it is a definitely it's an inflammatory for joint disease. The other thing to just kind of keep in mind from the Harvard scientists, there was an experiment that they used that was basically in regards to creating a hypothesis about why are young people more likely to heal from various things than older people? So there's a particular enzyme that we begin to lose inherently as we age, which is part of our it's pronounced it's pronounced it's part of our protoglycans, but the enzyme is the proteolytic enzymes, which we need to replace, and the root cause of that is it becomes diminished as we get older. So it dissolve, which basically is a part of dissolving scarring various tissue, which we need to replenish. So there are foods that they recommend that help encourage that, and that is the front line of defense on that would be pineapples, turmeric, papayan, devil's claw, which is rich, which is better than actually the COX-2 inhibitors without the side effects. Boswellia extract, which is a tribal known ingredient, and also ginger extract. Rutin, it's found in plants and foods, is good. Mojave yucca root is also good. And so in closing, I would just like to kind of go back in some parts of the teaching we've had here where we need to kind of remember what is our compelling why. And that is that essentially we need to remember, and this is paraphrasing 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever we eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. And that that and to remember that there's no addiction or habit strong enough for a convincing or compelling why. So we need, so when we understand again what and why we do what we do, it begins to work in our brain as steps, maybe baby steps, but steps to achieve our intended goal. So in regards to my little theme is just remember to stay in line with God's design. And also just something that you can Google and find out, I did see it, which is, it includes all of the benefactors of the things I mentioned, pineapple, turmeric, and so forth. There's a supplement, it's called Heal and Soothe, and it helps produce the proteolytic enzymes that we need. Thank you. I did get, I went to the scientific side, but really quick without,
That was my question too.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes, so I'm glad you guys were following me because I wasn't following my own notes. All right, so the other, the fourth item was processed foods, which is like French fries, of course we know, and other trans fats, which have a lot, have way too much omega-6. We don't need a lot of omega-6. The third was, believe it or not, blackened foods, barbecue foods. And the reason and the rationale for that is because of the high temperature that's used in cooking these foods. So we're better off with stewed foods, like crock pot foods, where they the high temperature is not killing out of the nutrients in the food. This again is a high temperatured food, so but they did say blackened and barbecued, so that gives you an idea of the temperatures that we're working with. The other was nightshade veggies like potatoes, mushrooms, and Right, right. So just whatever those are that tend to grow, more in the nightshade, you need to watch those. And then and the last one was sugar. And we all know from what Troy just said that it does it actually revs up the blood sugar and the insulin, which is and then causes a lot of inflammation. Okay.
Well, good job, everybody. Thank you. So next week, got a detailed research on sugar and white whole grains and sleep and rest. Awesome. So that will be next week. So, Troy's going to help me. He brought his blender. We're going to make a green smoothie here. I have a kind of show you my typical smoothie that I make about four times a week. Yes. Nobody. You gotta add it into yours?
Yeah.
Oh, but you guys are done.
Yeah.
But maybe do you want to do something about that?
Sure.
Okay, we'll add that in next week.
Okay.
So you know how some people can have the same thing over and over again and no problem. Some people can't stand having the same thing. So I'm the guy that can have the same thing over and over and over and over again. My wife is not like that. She always wants to switch it up. So this is typically what I have for smoothie, and I'm never bored by it. But very quickly, though, I met with someone this week. You know, we're working together. This person is going through cancer treatment. So we were talking, and somebody kind of interrupted. We're working together on something, and she's like, oh, I can't deal with stress. Because she said, when you are fighting cancer, no sugar, no stress. Yeah. Because the moment you let sugar in or stress, the odds of beating cancer goes down. Wow. And because she said, cancer cells thrive off sugar and stress. And there's been research that say that the moment somebody has a diagnosis and say they have cancer, it's not the first time they had cancer. The cells were there in their body for 2-3 years. But the more sugar you feed your body, the more you feed the cancer cells. And they say if people just didn't eat too much sugar, those cancer cells could never grow up and develop and cause illness. So sugar is a terrible, terrible thing. And so, because those cancer cells and you just eliminate the stress out of your life and cut back sugar, you just have no idea what good you're doing to your body, but just not giving yourself to sugar. So here is, so this is how my recipe goes for my green smoothie, okay? I'll use coconut water just because of the electrolytes. I run, so it's always good to kind of replace the electrolytes that I lose instead of getting the Gatorade. Coconut is better, it's got a lot of minerals in it, but if I don't, then I use distilled water. Kale, and some people can't stand kale, but you can do super greens. It's an option. I use blueberries because of the antioxidants in blueberries, and also because it has a very low glycemic index. Some people use bananas, but I have to warn you that every time you use bananas in your smoothies, bananas have a very high glycemic index. Glycemic index is the rate at which sugar, your blood sugar, spikes in your body by the foods you eat. Also, I use water because you don't want to use juices when you're making a smoothie because that is not good for you. Don't use juices. It doesn't matter if it's 100%. That's too much sugar for your body. I use ginger and powdered ginger for convenience. I'd rather if I could grate the ginger, but that's a lot of work. So I just use the powdered one, And ginger is so good. When we talk about anti-inflammatory stuff, ginger is great. Great for your digestive tract. If you want to go to the bathroom at least 2 times a day, ginger is good. If you don't go to bathroom number two at all, that day, something is wrong. Because the more you, if you eat twice, you should go twice. So ginger is good for you in that sense. And I use flaxseed meal, not the seed, but the meal, because flaxseed is high omega-3 oils. So which actually balances out the sugar that you may be getting from the blueberries, okay? And has good fats, which are good for your brain, and enzymes and minerals in that. And of course, avocado, everybody. I like avocado, right? I can't have enough avocado. So to help me, let's put some water in here. So how many want to have some smoothie this morning? All right.